In the name of Jesus. May the 7th has always been a special day for me personally, for a reason that is not relevant for us here, but for our church. Today is the day when we commemorate and give thanks to the Lord for the gift of Dr. C.F.W. Walther. How fitting it is that this day fell on the week of the Good Shepherd, because Walther's father, Gottlob Heinrich, as well as his grandfather, Adolf Heinrich, were pastors of the Church of the Good Shepherd in Langenschufdorf, Saxony, where Dr. Walther himself was baptized. Walther came out of the generations of pastors in Saxony, which go all the way back to the Reformation. When Walther's death was made known to Dr. Theodor Clifford, a leading confessional Lutheran churchman contemporary with Dr. Walther in the 19th century, he commented, "I humbly bow my gray head before him." Dr. Franz Pieper said, "At the service of the dedication of the mausoleum, we stand at the grave of the man with whom Christian doctrine and Christian faith were not merely theory, but practice." Indeed, Walther provided for our church theological and pastoral leadership. On a day like this, we are given such an appropriate text from Hebrews 13. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." A few verses before our text, we also read, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace." What does it mean when Hebrews talks about leaders? Obey your leaders and submit to them. Does it teach a kind of clericalism? Are we inviting a power game between pastor and voters' assembly, or between congregations and district or synod? Or should we look for principles of leadership out of social sciences and management theories in order to develop the so-called leadership ministry? No, the word for leaders in the New Testament, hoi hegumenoi, which is a Lucan vocabulary, is used for preachers and pastors of the church. As we heard, leaders keep watch over your soul and protect people from diverse and strange teachings. That's pastor. Also, leaders speak to you the word of God. That's preacher. Toward the end of the previous chapter, it says, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking." Who is speaking here? Is it leaders who are speaking? Yes, but is that all? We know it as we speak often in our chapel in the form of a responsory. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. As the Greek word used here indicates, obey your leaders does not suggest pastors' dictatorship or clericalism. What is exhorted here is the opposite of refusing your Lord Jesus, who is speaking to you through the mouth of the preacher and pastor. The minister gets little attention. Just as the Holy Spirit is frustrated when we place him at the center of our attention, because what he does is to point to Christ and to distribute his gifts to us while hiding himself under the word. So when a pastor gets attentions, or when he attempts to reference to himself, the way of delivery of the forgiveness of sins is impoverished and disturbed. A writing of Ignatius of Antioch may illustrate this point. He wrote, "Let that be considered a sure Eucharist, which is administered by the bishop or by one whom he entrusts. wherever the bishop appears there, let the multitude be. Just as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. For Ignatius, the church is found where the bishop is found. Does this then contradict what I just said? No, the church is found where the bishop is, because where the bishop is, there is the Lord's Supper going on. And there is no Lord's Supper going on except where the Lord Jesus is the one administering it. Leaders, preachers and pastors, or I may say presiders, are there only as the Lord's instruments. Because a pastor is sent and placed by Jesus himself there, we can be sure of the fact that it is the Lord who is speaking the gospel to us, it is the Lord who is bestowing to us his body and blood. St. Luke uses the word leader in this sense in Luke chapter 22. Jesus says, "Let the greatest among you become the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. I am in the midst of you as the one who serves." Human leaders, that is, preachers and pastors, are coming and going. One day you are a preacher of St. Paul Lutheran Church, the next day you may be serving in another congregation according to the Lord's call. Yet the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the one who speaks the gospel. He is the one who serves at his table. The heart of the holy ministry is that it is all he's doing. He's giving through his means of grace, using the man he puts there for his speaking and giving. On the other hand, our constant temptation is to give glory to us, as if it were because of my effort, strategies, and hard works that this man or child is saved, congregation growing, missionary works advancing. While we may pay a lip service to give praise to our Lord, down in our hearts, our sinful flesh still likes us to be recognized for our achievement in the ministry. So we pray that the Good Shepherd may protect us from the temptation of satisfying our sinful desires, to place ourselves, not our Lord, to be the center, at the center of people's attention. Obey your leaders, so that a seven-year-old child may hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Leaders, that is, pastors and preachers, speak and serve, pointing to Christ the crucified. Where there is the Good Friday, there is also the Good Shepherd. So as we remember one of our leaders today, Dr. Walser, we are not interested in hagiography or indifference. Rather, we give thanks to the Lord that he has had a good use of Dr. Walser as preacher and pastor. Especially, we remember him as a child of the confessional and liturgical revival in the 19th century. While still in Germany, not only for himself, but for the sake of his people, Walser actually did not obey his leaders, but he had no choice by law to exclusively use the Enlightenment and Pietism agenda of 1812, where some pastors were not baptizing with the name of the Triune God. When he came to this country, he fought against the ways of Methodism with little liturgy and lay preachers. Again, not only for his own sake, but for the sake of his people. He noted in his convention essay in the Western District in 1859 that the doctrine of justification is easily lost because philosophical assumptions are superimposed and thus reintroduce ancient heresies. Unionistic activities suggest that the doctrine is no longer of such great importance. Enthusiastic stimulation of feelings through all sorts of new regulations that downplay the means of grace, and an overemphasis on the rules, constitution, tradition, etc., may easily becloud justification by faith. We are given to breathe the same confessional and liturgical air with Dr. Walser as Lutherans. As it was for Walser, our confidence lives from our baptism, absolution, and the body and the blood of Christ. For these are all Jesus doing for you. So may the Lord make a good use of you also as leaders. Blessed are the pastors who hear their people say with profound joy, "It's all Jesus doing for me." Amen.